Court will proceed to the fourth case, Sutherland versus Walmart. Ms. Sweeney.
Good morning. If it please the court and Ms. Shaw, I represent the plaintiff, Maria Tara Sutherland, December 11th, 2006, was 27 years old. She went to work at Walmart. She was sexually assaulted by her 69-year-old co-worker, Arturo Aguas. As a result of Ms. Sutherland's own efforts, Mr. Aguas was eventually prosecuted and now resides on the Indiana Sex Offender Registry. We're here before the court because Ms. Sutherland's summary judgment opposition to her hostile work environment claim was denied. The trial court granted Walmart summary judgment on all counts of her complaint, the strongest of which we bring to the court today under the de novo standard for the hostile work environment. I think the trial court got it right when he assumed for the purposes of summary judgment that Tara Sutherland met the first three components of a hostile work environment. She was subjected to unwelcome sexual conduct, certainly a sexual assault when you are confined in a small cooler is unwelcome under and constitutes a hostile work environment, both under an objective or subjective review standard. And that this single incident was severe enough to create a hostile work environment. So that the trial court found for purposes of summary judgment that all three of those elements had been met. So I think that the real question before this court is, should Walmart have been liable? Should Walmart get the benefit of a Farragher-Ellerth defense? Was the response prompt and reasonable? And I want to suggest that the trial court looked at that too narrowly, and that in Berry versus Delta, what we said is you don't focus on whether the remedy was ultimately successful, but instead was the employer's total response reasonable. And in this case, it was not reasonable under the circumstances. Walmart knew that in 2003, 2004, Mr. Aguas had engaged in wrongful conduct towards another employee.
That was 2 years prior to this incident, right?
That's absolutely, Judge. And from the cases in which I've represented employees, I find that places like Walmart are really good and should be at keeping the history of somebody's conduct. And in this case, there's a factual issue. Walmart says they didn't know. We found a prior employee who in 2003 made precisely the same type of allegations that Ms. Sutherland did, but luckily she wasn't sexually assaulted. She said the same type of things to her manager. He's leering at me. He comes to my workplace. And the manager says, I'm going to take care of this. That's management. He comes back to her. He says, it's all taken care of. He comes back again, travels across a 24-hour superstore. This is not a small store like it was in Roby. And says, oh, here's a card, here's a gift. She again has to go to her employer and say, help me. I have to have people take me to my car. So this is a specific factual issue. Walmart says they didn't know about this. We have an affidavit saying they did. So what does this notice tell us? Does this notice create a requirement that Walmart's investigation should have been better and different? What they did, and if you look at the remedy, they're claiming that their remedy was sufficient. And that remedy was three times a week for an hour and a half, Ms. Sutherland and Mr. Aguas's schedule overlapped. And that they were Mr. Hickson, who's the manager, said, yeah, I had the authority to transfer one of them, but I didn't. Her direct supervisor.
Of course, they had to just take her word for it at that time, right?
I don't think that's accurate, Judge. I think that there's facts to show she immediately comes out of this cooler and is upset and is crying and finds a coworker. And that coworker says, and that's in the record, I knew you were in the cooler with him. She sees the card he gave her. She sees the box. So immediately there's some form of corroboration of distress, confinement, and that they were in there alone. So I think that the court ignored that, and that that creates an issue that the jury should get to decide. That the jury should get to say, well, even if there wasn't this corroboration, why is their investigation good enough? They want to say there were no reoccurrences. But I want to suggest to this court that if you look under all the circumstances and with the notice, this does rise to the level where mere presence creates a reoccurrence. This was a 24-hour superstore. The best they could do was to make the victim work 80 feet apart from the assaulter. That was the best they could do. So that this mere presence alone creates such a harm that it is a reoccurrence. Yes, sir.
Well, a couple things. Ms. Sweeney, you're challenging, as I understand it, I guess the quality of the investigation, not the promptness, right?
Judge, I absolutely believe.
Didn't they start the investigation the day of the... after they interviewed the witness right after the assault, right?
I would disagree that this was a prompt investigation. What they did was she reports, and they said, here, write out a statement. That's it. Then she comes. Then she knows she's coming back the next day and that he's still going to be at work. She says, I can't work here with him. Okay, go home sick. December 14th, she comes in. Now there are five people in a room and say, okay, write out another statement. And then on the 15th, they say, okay, now we're going to conduct an investigation. And by this time, Mr. Aguas is on a plane to an extended vacation in his homeland of the Philippines. And so I don't think that this was prompt. I think that to not then, to immediately, as a sexual assault, you call the police, you take care of how you properly interview her. You don't just say, here's this. Make a statement.
These aren't police officers, though. I mean, that's not their main job of investigating, right?
Well, Judge, under hostile work environment, it is their main job to investigate and to know how to handle it.
But those are supervisors. They said it report to any salaried person.
Right, and they did immediately report. They took that to Mr. Hickson, who was a salaried manager, and just said, okay, here, write out this statement. I got to pass this along to somebody else. It's the same Mr. Hickson who said, yeah, I could have put them on different shifts. They could have gone to different parts of the store, and they didn't.
Was there a request to have a greater division as far as the proximity by the victim?
Yes, there was, Judge, on more than one occasion. She said, you know, I'll be the one to move. Just move me somewhere. I'm 80 feet away from this person. I'm 80 feet away. Three times a week over a 1.5-hour period of time. And looking at the circumstances, why is this reasonable for a superstore? Again, when you look at Roby, one of the cases that the trial court relied on, they said, well, that they had mostly different shifts. There wasn't much of an overlap. But in Roby, the facts as I read them indicated the store was really no bigger than this room.
Well, but you have a greater populated, by that I mean employees as well as customers, in a 24/7 superstore, right? I mean, it's not, it isn't as isolated. The proximity of 80 feet, I appreciate your point there, but it isn't as if one is not in attendance with other employees. Is that right?
That's absolutely true, Judge. However, it is clear in the record that the person in charge of the schedule said, yeah, I couldn't do it, I didn't do it, and was even asked by Ms. Sutherland and her immediately hourly supervisor to do so. He gave no reason other than to say, well, it may have cut their hours, and then we couldn't give the best service to the customer.
Well, but is it right that the attack here occurred in this cooler or freezer situation?
Yes, Your Honor, which was part of the deli section.
No, I appreciate that. But we don't have a reoccurrence of that, do we, during this time when there is this hour and a half during the three-week period?
No, Judge, we do not have a reoccurrence of a specific attack. We have her belief and her fear that given the closeness and proximity, that assault could be one hour
away.
They
never actually came in contact again.
Judge, I don't quite know what you mean by contact. They overlapped. They were still in the same department.
Were they standing next to each other during that?
I think at one period of time, the 80 feet, the way that Ms. Sutherland described it is, if you put your hands out to each side, they could have touched. They did not. But that becomes one of the questions of fact for a jury. Does the mere presence create the recurrence? I see that...
What should Walmart have done with this fellow when he misbehaved 2 years ago?
Well, I think there should have been a documentation. And at that point, because it was clear he ignored management, that's why he did it again. So there should have been a documentation, like all employers do. Then that may have changed. Then they may not have said, well, you know what, Ms. Sutherland, there's no corroboration. Well, absolutely there would have been corroboration. It's just that at that point, with Ms. Mullins, the prior person, management intervened enough that he stopped after giving a card and gift, the same as he did in the cooler with Ms. Sutherland immediately prior to sexually assaulting her.
Thank you, Sweeney. Ms. Shaw.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Shannon Shaw, and I represent Walmart. And Walmart respectfully requests that this court affirm the granting of summary judgment as to Ms. Sutherland's sexual harassment claim. First, I'd like to point out just a couple of inaccuracies, if you will, in regards to the record evidence. There is no record evidence that Ms. Sutherland immediately came out of the cooler and told one of her coworkers what had happened. The record evidence is actually that she had not shown her coworkers or even had discussed the incident until several hours later. In any event, she did not talk to the managers during that same day on December 11th and did not report anything until she came in the next morning, December 12th.
Well, you wouldn't consider that a long delay, would you?
No, I wouldn't, Judge. And to go on to what she did report on December 12th, she did report it to assistant manager, Ralph Hickson, who testified over and over again that as an assistant manager, he is not at the pay grade or the appropriate level of management, if you will, to go ahead and conduct these, what Walmart terms, red book investigations into harassment or discrimination, in this instance, harassment. So he did have her write a brief statement. She testified herself that she was too upset to actually go into greater detail, and he went ahead and allowed her to go home, given the fact that she was that upset. She ended up calling in the next day. She did talk to Mr. Hickson, and he said, you know, if you're still upset, please feel free to stay at home. She did so. She came in on December 14th. At that time, the store manager got involved, talked to her. There was a more detailed account of what had happened. My understanding was it was just Mr. Ward and a female manager present. There was not five people in the room asking what had happened in this cooler. And actually, on December 12th, the investigation did immediately begin. Mr. Ward, as a store manager, went ahead and interviewed one of the deli department associates who didn't have any information. On the next day, one of the co-managers, who actually was the investigative manager throughout this process, interviewed one of the co-associates who was identified as being an individual who read the card. Her name was Debbie Lalonde. Unfortunately, Ms. Lalonde had no information except for the fact that she had read the card.
Said it was inappropriate.
And said that it was inappropriate, yes. And to fast forward, I mean, at the end of the investigation, there were two substantiated allegations. One was that there was an inappropriate card, and two was that there was a hug that was unwelcomed. Mr. Aguas did admit that he had hugged her in the cooler, after he was giving her a gift and a card. And so Walmart did go ahead and give him the most severe discipline, shy of termination.
They'd had an ongoing social relationship. I don't mean boyfriend, girlfriend, but they knew each other and traveled together on occasion and went out to dinner and so forth.
They did go out to dinner, Your Honor, and this Christmas before, on his way out of town to his hometown, Ms. Sutherland did take him up to Indianapolis from the Seymour store so that he could get on his airplane, and he did give her $100 for that. There's testimony from other deli members and associates who had said that he was a well-respected, well-loved individual who they enjoyed working with, and he was a very generous individual who always provided Christmas gifts.
And she indicated she had no idea that this kind of conduct would take place.
She did, and that was one of the issues that the management had really looked at, the fact that she herself said that she was shocked by his conduct. The other individuals who they had interviewed, including Susan Basil, had also said that she was also shocked by his conduct, would have never expected it from him. He had been an employee for approximately 7 years at the time, maybe 6.5 years, and had a completely unblemished record. Ms. Sutherland's counsel talks about notice due to the fact that there was a pharmacy associate who had, through her affidavit, indicated that he had made inappropriate comments and had leered at her. We would argue that that did not place Walmart on notice that 3 to 4 years later, Mr. Aguas would sexually assault Ms. Sutherland in a deli cooler.
Did Walmart have any record of this situation?
They did not have any record.
How did that come to light?
How did it come to light?
It's the first incident.
Ms. Mullen's incident in the pharmacy came to light during this litigation. So we would actually argue that this court's Longstreet decision in 2002 would be persuasive and binding.
I understand this is a large super target or whatever they call it. How many employees are on at any given time?
Oh, Your Honor, I would say close to 200 maybe. We would argue that Longstreet, where the harasser had harassed, allegedly, a colleague requesting sexual favors in return for money.
It seems to me that the real question here is, are all these matters for summary judgment? Or should there have been a trial here? After all, this fellow was subsequently prosecuted and went to jail, apparently. Police were able to find out more than Walmart, apparently, I guess.
Police, through their interrogation, ultimately ended up securing a confession from him. And then when they came, that began in January 11th, I believe, 2007, police came in March and told management that they had secured a confession from Mr. Aguas. This was the first that Walmart had even known that she had gone to the police. They went ahead and requested the police file record for themselves. As soon as they received it, they hired an independent investigator to come into the store. This was the first time that anything like this, of this type of nature, had ever happened in the store. And that same day that the independent investigator came in and spoke with Mr. Aguas, who, by the way, continued to deny that he had behaved in that manner. Once pressed in regards to the fact that he had admitted to the Seymour Police Department, he ultimately confessed, and Walmart terminated his employment that same day.
Had he been naturalized? Was he a citizen?
He is a citizen, yes. So we would hold that the pharmacy incident would be a less serious incident, not giving knowledge to Walmart that he would eventually 3 to 4 years later, sexually assault an individual who, by all accounts, had been a friend and who herself was shocked by that.
Is it 3 to 4 years or 2 years?
The incident happened in December of 2006, and it's very vague in the affidavit. It just indicates that I believe it had occurred sometime in 2003 or 2004.
Yeah, she left in 2004.
Right, she was no longer there. In regards to the immediacy or the promptness of the investigation, we would say that we did, or Walmart management did begin immediately and did finish it before, within the week that Mr. Aguas had returned from the Philippines. They did follow their well-published and well-known procedures that is company-wide in regards to the investigation itself. And unless there's any further questions, that's all I have, Your Honors.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Your time had expired, but you may have an additional 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, I would only say the following. Walmart tells you, we didn't know. We didn't know, so what we did was okay. Tara tells you, you did know, so what you did wasn't okay. That's the issue of fact. That's why we should get to go back and have a jury trial. That's why the trial court shouldn't, at this point, get to decide. Those things are material. They go to the heart of it.
If Walmart did know of this, as you suggest, this 03 incident, is that it?
Somewhere between 03 and 04.
Yeah.
That's correct.
If they did, you're not suggesting they're parallel. You're just they're parallel in the sense we have the same individual involved, but the severity is of a different order. Is that?
Severity is of a different order. There are some things that are common. And, of course, Ms. Sutherland didn't know about it. She shouldn't have. That should have been in his personnel record. That's something that his bosses should have known. And if that was true, then all of Walmart's factual defenses don't make sense. It wasn't prompt. It was corroborated. There were things that needed to be done. So that, in conclusion, what we're asking for is not to say you win, is to just say, you get a trial.
Ms. Your view of Walmart perhaps should have immediately suspended in light of the earlier incident. What in addition to, what would be the elements of the better promptness and disposition?
This is a store that had the ability to make sure that if they weren't going to suspend anyone, these two people could have come and gone to work without crossing any paths. So then we wouldn't have an issue of whether mere presence is a reoccurrence.
Ms. Sweeney, do you know of whether the pharmacy and Target is owned by Target or is it contracted out?
Your Honor, I believe that during the we deposed the pharmacy manager, and he said, "I am a manager for Walmart." There was no
Walmart,
Target.
Not said Target.
Yes,
Walmart.
Yes, sir. They were direct manager salaried. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Sweeney. Thank you, Ms. Shaw. The case is taken under advisement. And